Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark, Millennial Ben. Presented by Brakes Plus. And let me see if I can find a good one here. Good one here. Let's see. No, Stink could have used some encouragement on Guiding Light. No. Aaron Rodgers could get the taping done in 30 days. He would use the remaining days to relax. No. You like that one?
I do.
Let's see. All right. Let's see. I gotta find one. I'm looking.
Wow.
Come on. No one has a good question today. Come on.
Nobody's on it.
A lot of people are challenging you. The technical definition of middle age has changed from 40 to 60 to 45 to 65.
But we're not talking about middle age in America. We're talking about middle age coaching.
Evans, average life expectancy in the U.S. is 78 years old. Anyone over 39 is mathematically middle aged.
Okay, hold on. Hold on.
Now that's sobering.
All right. Peter King's definition.
Oh, he responded to you.
He responded. Right, so give me what you said.
All right, this will be the whole setup. So in Peter King's Football Morning in America article, he referenced, this was specifically what he wrote, a middle-aged coach whose team is in the market to draft a quarterback. And the coach, the quote was, I've never seen quarterbacks get pushed up in the draft the way they're getting pushed up this year. Trevor Lawrence deserves to be the number one pick, but after that, in my book, there's three receivers, a tight end, and two offensive tackles ahead of the next quarterback. But this desperation for quarterbacks, so we're trying to figure out, with this cryptic referral to a middle-aged coach, we're trying to figure out who it was, and we immediately, you and I got caught in the weeds, debating what exactly is middle age.
Right.
Is Vic Fangio middle age or is he just old?
Right.
You know, is Mike Tomlin middle age? You know, what exactly?
So you tried to use your U.S. American standard middle age definition.
Right.
And I said, no, it doesn't work that way because coaching, if you're in your 60s, you're old.
So you went to the source and texted Peter King.
I just said, I go, Peter, define middle age coach for me. And Peter wrote back, 45 to 55.
Oh.
So there you go. Who was right? Go ahead.
That'd be you.
Yeah, I told you so, Island.
All right. So here's the question. Now we have to really read. Now we got to read tighter between the lines because he said. Now here's what he said. Says one middle-aged coach. Now.
Oh, he didn't say head coach.
He didn't say head coach.
Right.
So now.
But you got to imagine it. You're not talking to coordinators about who they're going to draft. You're talking to head coaches and GMs. So you got
you
to.
You sure
assume,
about that?
Yeah. You got to assume it's a, you just have to make the
All
assumption.
Right. So if we're assuming then 45 to 55 mm-hmm. coaches of teams that are perceived to be in the market for a quarterback, Kyle's not 45 yet. Kyle Shanahan, right?
He's
41.
41.
Benny, get ready. You're going to be doing some quick age checking for us, all right?
Yeah.
Robert Saleh?
I would say he's 41, 42, 43, somewhere in there. Robert?
Benny? How old is Robert Saleh?
Benny is working.
It's not that hard. How old is he? He's 42.
Okay. Well, wow. Right. Man, I'm on it.
Right all right. Now, so it's right? not them. Let's see, other quarterback in the market for a quarterback team. All right, Bill Belichick, too old.
Yeah. Hmm. How about Arthur Smith?
Arthur Smith?
Yeah.
With Atlanta?
Atlanta.
All right, how old
I
is
think
Arthur Smith?
Arthur's probably early 40s.
38.
Oh, 38.
Okay, not him.
Not him.
Urban Meyer. Well, no, but he's got Trevor Lawrence, yeah, so that's not, it wouldn't be him. Who else is in the quarterback market? Urban Meyer's 56.
Oh, he's out.
He's too old. He's out.
He's out.
Hmm.
All right. So what about Matt Rhule?
How old is Matt Rhule?
Good one. Matt Rhule.
How old is Matt Rhule?
He got to be 45.
Oh, I think it's Matt Rhule.
46.
I think it's Matt Rhule.
Ooh.
How old is Matt Nagy?
I'm going to say 43 or 44. Matt Nagy. Chicago.
What?
42.
Ooh. It's Rhule. I think it's Matt Rhule.
Matt Rhule.
So this is Matt Rhule. Connect the dots here, okay?
Yeah, Sean Payton's out of it. 57.
He's out of it. 57. I think it's Matt Rhule. Think about it. Connect the dots. They went out. They traded for Sam Darnold. Why? Because while they need to be better at quarterback, they're not sold on this class of quarterbacks and the cost it would take for them to move up.
Yeah. Yep. By the way,
I think it's Matt Rhule. Text him back. Say, it's Matt Rhule, isn't it?
Yeah. By the way, I like this text right here. Ben is too slow. He's making millennials look bad.
Oh, Benny, you're letting millennials down. You millennials are supposed to be lightning quick when it comes to the
Flores. Very nice. Brian Flores. Brian Flores got to be early 40s, right?
Oh, yeah. He's not 45 yet. How old is 40?
40. Dan Campbell? Dan Campbell is...
Yeah, how old is Dan Campbell?
Dan's got to be 46, 47.
44. 44. It's Rhule. It's Matt Rhule. It's Matt Rhule. Come on, it makes sense. If Matt...
No, somebody said Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera is older than me. Ron Rivera is a few years older than me, so he's out of the...
Ron Rivera, by this metric, is ancient.
Tomlin's 49.
Yeah, but they're not in the quarterback market.
Ben, Big Ben's going to play 1 year, and then they've got to find a quarterback.
Yeah, but nobody is linking Pittsburgh. I mean, what would it cost Pittsburgh to move up? They're picking what?
Oh, I have no idea.
I'm looking it up real quick here. Pittsburgh is in the 20s. They're 24. You know what it would take for them to move up from 24 all the way up to, you know, 4 or 5? No way.
Yeah, no, they're not moving.
Now they may get a khaki pants guy. Kyle Trask has been linked to the Steelers.
Who is the guy that has been Mond, right? Has been moving
Kellen
up.
Mond is moving up. But my khaki pants guy since November has been Trask.
You could see somebody moving up, even like speaking of quarterbacks, just getting way overdrafted, moving up in the late first round and taking a guy like Kellen Mond. Don't you think? As big and athletic as that kid is, and you're going to sit him for a year, kind of learn the system.
How old's the Eagles coach?
He's 12, I think.
Ryan Satriani, or who's the?
Yeah, Joe Satriani.
Joe Satriani.
He's a great, great guitar player.
Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, same thing.
Not Joe Satriani. He's 39. It's Rhule. It's Matt Rhule. I'm telling you, it's Matt Rhule.
It makes
too much sense.
Yeah, we got it.
Now that we know who it is, okay?
We're so... Like, this is... like you know what?
We're good.
The Hardy Boys got nothing on us.
Yeah, exactly.
The Hardy Boys
and Zach have nothing on us.
Not even close.
You know, what happened?
They couldn't have figured this out.
So now, based on what we have surmised, Matt Rhule, whose team, rather than giving up a King's ransom to move up, chose to go with Sam Darnold, maybe in their mind, this is how they're justifying it. Ready? Okay.
Uh-huh.
It's that backdrop. Here we go. I have never seen quarterbacks get pushed up in the draft the way they're getting pushed up this year, said Carolina Panthers coach Matt Rhule.
Yes.
Trevor Lawrence deserves to be the number one pick, but after that, in my book, there's three receivers, a tight end, and two offensive tackles ahead of the next quarterback, but this desperation for quarterbacks.
So that's
why they traded for Sam Darnold,
and now they're going to get an elite tackle or an elite receiver, or they're going to get,
God, we are.
We are
detectives.
Yeah, this is why.
Like, I mean, we're like Sherlock Holmes and
more
Watson.
This is just more for you guys, for you listeners, and you're welcome. This is just more evidence of why we live on I Told You So Island. Like, we're just always right.
We are always right.
I mean,
Tell me.
I understand that it's sickening. I get that. Sorry. I mean, what am I supposed to do?
You got a text back. Peter King, go.
Rule, huh?
Matt Rule, huh? Just see what he says.
No. I like the game. I want to make sure that I don't.
A little mystery, a little intrigue.
Yeah.
All right. A little suspense.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Do you think George Payton could easily make that comment? I've never seen quarterbacks get pushed up in the draft the way they're getting pushed up this year, said new Broncos general manager George Payton. Trevor Lawrence deserves to be the number one pick, but after that, in my book, there's three receivers, a tight end, and two offensive tackles ahead of the next quarterback. But this desperation for quarterbacks, could you see George Payton making that comment?
Yes, although Peter King said it was a coach.
I know. I'm just saying.
Oh, absolutely. But George would have thrown in two corners above the rest of the quarterback. Right?
I'm sorry, I'm reading this text. New Hardy Boys title, The Mystery of the Middle-Aged Coach.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh, I've been listening to the most pointless 10 minutes. I'm never getting that back. Thanks, you two. I disagree. I think that was very revealing.
Can I just say something really quick? What else are you going to do?
Well, yes.
I mean, pointless 10 minutes. We just did some. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that would be on, like, Cold Case.
Correct.
Right? When we just essentially. What we essentially did 48 hours, you know, that where they you got 48 hours to solve the crime. Otherwise it goes cold and you never get to the bottom of it.
Right.
We just solved it.
That was some top notch sleuthing right there.
It was.
But here's why it's not pointless. Let's say it was Matt Rhule. That I think is major insight into how teams that are picking 8, 9, 10 view these quarterbacks. You know, at what point, unless you absolutely love them and are sure, does it justify?
I like you a lot.
The cost of moving up.
So here to me is the point.
You guys are more Nancy Drews than Hardy Boys.
That's a good point. Love Nancy Drew. Jim, I mean, she was, you want to talk about solving cases.
Pamela Sue Martin.
Yeah. Ace of the Sticky Lollipop. You know what I mean?
That kind of stuff, yes.
Yeah, you know. Yes. I mean, just boom.
Yes.
What was we talking about?
I don't know. Currency, draft currency.
This is what it says to me. There's one team that moved up, we all know who they are, and gave up a king's ransom. San Francisco. But you know what? They looked at it like we're in our window right now. We have got a rock solid roster, and we had some people that came back to us in Trent Williams and a couple other guys that came back to us and signed. And so we were in the position to say, it's not going to hurt us to not have a first rounder in the next couple of years because we are loaded on both lines of scrimmage. Nick Bosa's coming back, you know, like they looked at it like that and said, well, let's go ahead and roll the dice. But if you're a team like Carolina or you're a team like the Broncos or any of these other teams that are drafting in the top 10 for a reason, you're like, do I really want to reach on a quarterback? Do I really want to reach on a quarterback? And like you said, you're playing blackjack and you got 18s right now. And you're saying, do I really want to hit on 18 and miss when I still have so many other, right? I have so many other needs that I need to address. And there are like generational players out there, like the Patrick Sertans of the world or the Kyle Pitts of the world or the Penei Sewells of the world. Or like you're looking at it like we've got a bunch of dudes that in our book, they're as close to can't miss as possible. Now, they could still miss, but the odds of them hitting, that's hitting with a 9 showing or a 10
right.
showing.
The reason I bring up the whole blackjack comparison, like I heard Sean Drotar on some of the promos that we're running about how, you know, this is a gamble, a bet worth making. No, it's not. Not when you consider the track record of these quarterbacks taken in the first round. So when you consider the track record, I'm using the blackjack comparison. It's like sitting on 18 and deciding to hit.
Right.
It's a gamble that will pay off every once in a while, and it'll pay off richly. But based on the track record of that bet, it's a foolish bet.
Right.
And that's a lot of what drafting these quarterbacks high up in the first round are. It's hitting on 18.
Yeah. I mean, all you have to do is
great,
look
a 3 pops up. Awesome. Great job. It was still a
right
bad move.
You look at the teams that do that. Jacksonville. What did I say the other day? They've had 8. In the last 10 years, they've had 8 top 10 picks. That's what happens to you when you do that. Cleveland, 25 years of dreck before they finally got back to the playoffs. And they made a bunch of picks. They infused talent on that football team. And then, you know, Baker Mayfield comes in and, you know, helps solidify that talent. But beyond that, I mean, they were taking, you know, the Brady Quinns of the world and the Johnny Manziels of the world and the Brandon Whedons of the world. And I mean, Tim Couches of the world. I mean, how many times did they fail on that? The Jets, the won a championship in 1969 with Joe Namath and have been trying to replace him ever since. The Miami Dolphins since Marino retired. So, you know, I mean, settle down now.
Well, back to that Peter King article where he references the middle-aged coach. We think it's Matt Rhule. But the coach talks about this desperation for quarterbacks. Okay, so why the desperation? Greg Cosell, who is one of the best in the business when it comes to really analyzing and breaking down film.
Mm-hmm.
He said, quote, in a league that has veered dramatically toward the passing game and towards 3 and 4 receiver sets, it makes sense the quarterback becomes more in demand. You need a really good quarterback to play the game that exists now. It leads to the need and sometimes the desperation of trying to find that guy. You'll never hear me say that the need is not important. I've always said you have to figure out the quarterback position. But if you're making moves based on desperation, that's where I part company. And if you are willfully choosing out of desperation to pick a guy and leave 6-7 players on the board that your scouts, your hardworking scouts, who for the last year have been crisscrossing the country and writing up reports and have come up with their first round grades, and you are willfully passing on 6 or 7 players that have much higher grades because you're fueled by desperation?
Yes.
And hoping that when you hit on 18, a 3 will pop up? I don't want my team to operate that way.
Yeah. No, I don't.
Because
either.
While you may get that three may turn over, and bingo, you got blackjack. If that's the way your franchise is going to do business, I think you're ultimately doomed for failure, right, or doomed to come up short.
I think it's interesting because fan bases get caught up in, you know, the quarterback carousel, whirlwind, whatever you want to call it, like the overdrafting of quarterbacks. And if you don't have one, you can't win, and you got to take a, you know, it's the DMAC, you got to take a chance theory. And then I get people that try to relate that to the Patrick Mahomes situation in Kansas City. See, they got one, and now we're behind the eight ball for the next, you know, 10 years or whatever it is. And my thought process is this on Kansas City, Mike. First, they built their roster and they built their team. And they were winning 12 games with Alex Smith. And then what happened? Andy Reid saw a guy who he said reminds me of when I was coaching Brett Favre, and he could be special. And then what'd he do? Because he had the roster already complete, he said, I'll give up the next couple of years of first-rounders just to get myself up to 10 from 24, I believe it was, and said, I don't need, my window is, I'm already in that window, and then had the wherewithal to let Alex Smith mentor him for a year. And then guess what? Back-to-back Super Bowls, where they won one. And went to an AFC championship the year before that. What a three-year run. What a three-year run. But the point being is they were already loaded. Right? They were loaded. So, and the point being is load up your, figure it out, load it. And then when you see the guy, when you fall in love with a dude and you think that guy is the best thing ever, then you move for that guy.
I mean, it speaks volumes to this team and, like, how much heart and determination that we have.
It's been a while.
It has been a long while.
Yeah. It used to just happen, like, weekly. Almost daily.
If you, as an embedded Chiefs fan, living here in Denver, listening to this show,
yeah,
if you need a reminder of how bad that loss was in the Super Bowl and how much it stings and how embarrassing it was, all you need to know is, think back on how many times we played that song prior to the Super Bowl and how many times we've played it since the Super Bowl.
Yes.
That's the only barometer you need. Before the Super Bowl, let's face it, we were playing that song fulfilling our contractual obligation that every time we said something nice about Mahomes, we tried to take some of the sting out of it by playing that mocking song.
Mm-hmm.
We played it like every day.
Yes.
I mean, it was as reliable as the Paxton Lynch smear campaign.
Oh. Doing.
Neither did Benny. He was a little.
No,
Benny
a little late.
Is normally ready to go, but yeah. That one caught him off guard.
Yeah, that did catch him off
guard. Date number 2176. But think about it, since the Super Bowl, I think we've only played that Mahomes song a handful of times.
Yeah.
It's been 2 months since the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it really feels good. It really feels good to not that
right?
talk about. It really feels good that. Let's face it, that the football hubris got Kansas City's ass kicked. That does feel good. I was talking to a different coach this weekend.
Uh-huh.
Coach in the league that talked about...
Is he middle-aged, too?
It might be on the older side.
Okay.
That was... That talked about, like, that just is... Like, that's a team that didn't want to take what the defense was giving them.
Insisted on winning their own way.
Yeah, insisted on winning their own way.
Amazing how much hubris has cost teams in Super Bowls in the past. Coming up, did Michael Malone make a move yesterday that angered Nuggets fans in the short term, but will make them happy in the long term? That's next. Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
So let's see, you reached out to Peter King this morning and he responded with a definition of middle age. We won't bring up the other one yet, but have you heard back from that other?
No, I am.
You
not
will
yet.
Know today. All right. So
I'll talk to him today.
We'll save that for tomorrow because that's very interesting to me.
That is interesting.
I'm
surprised.
I am surprised too.
So, I am.
We'll just leave you in suspense on that one. Okay?
Yeah, I'm very surprised.
What did you think of Michael Malone
Let's set the mood, first of all.
Yeah. I keep forgetting I'm in love anymore.
What did you think of Michael Malone in the midst of a 31-8 meltdown in the fourth quarter against the Celtics as the Nuggets had their 8-game winning streak snapped, that he chose to send a message to Nikola Jokic? Now, do you guys have the soundbite? So here's the scenario. Midway through the fourth quarter, the Nuggets had a substitution where Jokic came back into the game and they were down two. Malone took him out of the game when they were down 14. Still manageable, but he took him out. And after the game, he was asked, why in a game that was still within reach did you choose to take out Jokic? Benny, you got it? All right, he's grabbing it right now.
There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on behind the glass. Oh, he's got it. Look
okay,
quick
here. Here's what Malone had to say.
And regarding Nikola, you know, it's he gets frustrated with the referees and what he perceives to be a lack of calls, and you understand that, but, you know, that can never take you away from your duty as a basketball player. So that's something that he, myself, and all of us can definitely be better at. But the most of the decision was just getting him out. We're still down by 12 points at that time. Let's try something different. AG at the five. See if we can get an athletic big on the rim. Four smalls. Obviously, it didn't help. Nothing helped in that fourth quarter.
So when Jokic entered the game, 8:39 left in the fourth, Nuggets were down 82-80. During the time he was out there, this is what he did. He committed a foul. He missed a short jumper. He had a loose ball foul. He had a bad pass turnover. He had a shot blocked. And then he missed another short shot. And when he was taken out with 4:41 left, about 4 minutes left, 4 minutes later, the Nuggets had gone from being down two to down 14. At that point, it's clear. Whatever's going on, Jokic is in a bad place, a frustrated place, and the teams, you can just tell, it's getting away from you. So Malone at that point uses it as a teaching moment. Smart? Or is that not the time to be trying to send messages?
No, you've won 8 straight games, right? 17 out of 20. I think it is smart. Hey, listen, I think the one thing that you have to understand, it's very much like the MVP talk that we had, that people don't understand my perspective from a television standpoint and what gets you that hype, why national shows and the national media start to talk about you. And it's very much the San Antonio Spurs. People said, well, hey, listen, you know, you can look at the San Antonio Spurs and you can look at the big fundamental and say, well, that guy was an MVP. He plays in a small market. What happened first? It's not a chicken or the egg situation. It's what comes first. Championship, then the hype when you play. Now, if you play in a big market, you know, oftentimes the hype comes before. I always say this about young players, man. Build your career and you know, your brand will follow. The problem with a lot of young players is they want to build a brand and think the career follows that. It's not the way it works.
Okay, now hold on, though. See, I'm listening to you, and I'm listening to Michael Malone, but I also think Michael Malone is guilty of sending mixed messages here.
How so?
Well, wasn't it just a couple days ago he got intentionally, in our belief, intentionally tossed?
Sure.
Because he felt that Nikola Jokic wasn't getting calls. So he says, my guy's not getting calls, and I get thrown out for it.
Right.
Now you're saying that Jokic should be expecting to get calls, and he's not getting them, and he's getting frustrated at it, and now you're mad at Jokic?
Yeah, no. See, you're wrong. He's not mad at Jokic. He's teaching Jokic a lesson. That's my job. My job is to get thrown out. My job as a coach is to try to get you the calls. Your job is to play. Your job is not to worry about that stuff. And ultimately, what I'm telling you here is, Jokic, you aren't getting those calls. So you complaining, but are you sitting, how many times have you seen him not get a call on the offensive end, throw his hands up, look at the ref, meanwhile, there's a fast break opportunity, and you're playing 5-on-4 on the other end because Jokic is still standing down there with his hands in the air? How many, like, you, everybody has seen that. And maybe not in the last 2 years because you can't watch it on television, but you know what I'm saying. Right? You've seen it. And so what he's trying to grow his basketball team up, knowing what they're going to face in the playoffs. Do you think if you do draw the Lakers in the first round and AD and LeBron are coming off an injury, you think you're going to get the same calls the Lakers are going to get? I mean, that's a pipe dream. That's crazy. Of course you're not. You don't think the NBA, now I'm not saying the games are rigged because they're not, but you don't think the NBA coming off an injury is going to give LeBron and AD a favorable whistle over Jokic? Come on. So what you're...
Especially if they're staring at the possibility of Utah, Phoenix, and Denver being your top markets in the West?
Thank you. So of course, you just have to understand that. So all Malone is saying is, dude, let me worry about that. You worry about playing basketball.
You know what's cute is that we got a little rivalry between Avalanche fan and Nugget fan. This is from Avs Man.
Oh, Avs Man is back.
It's trade deadline day for a contending Avs team. With trades affecting other contenders, the Avs will have to deal with, and you're ignoring it all by breaking down the Nuggets game.
Well, the Nuggets have as legitimate, I wouldn't say their title aspirations are as high as the Avs are, but they're still high, so it's worth talking about, especially when your coach is making a statement like he did. But no, we've talked about the Avs. I love what the Avalanche.
Yeah, the Avs made their trade.
Yeah, look, the Avs did what they had to do, Avs, man. We told you on Friday. I said on Friday I would be stunned, shocked, if Joe Sakic did not go out and address the backup goaltending issue during the weekend. Voila, he did. He go trades for Devin Dubnyk and got exactly what you're looking for. A proven veteran goaltender who can handle this role. It was the last move that had to be made.
Mm-hmm.
So what's left to talk about? They've checked all the boxes. They've got everything in place to go make a deep Stanley Cup run.
Yeah, I know what's left
Avs
to talk
man,
about.
Avs man, relax. They're set. They're ready to roll.
Avs man, you know what's left to talk about? Talk about pop music. Talk about shooby dooby doo up. I want to dedicate it. Bop bop boo up.
Oh, you are
courtesy
the gift.
Of M.
You are the gift.
Pop
the
music.
Giving.
M.
Benny.
That's a great song.
Put that in there with 99 Left Balloons. Put that in with the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Ooh. And
don't get me started on that.
And and also David Lee Roth.
Give it up. <Mubbidi-bop. Mubbidi-bop. That is identical.
Identical. As one texter just said, shut up, Avs man. Ah, I love it.
Texter on texter crime. Love it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. There was what I think was the best sports story of the weekend, and it wasn't even close. Tell you what it is next. So, I was reading.
Yeah.
Michael B. Jordan.
Yes.
I love Michael B. Jordan.
Oh, who doesn't?
Ever since he was on Friday Night Lights, he was so good. Michael B. Jordan has reinvigorated the whole Rocky
Creed
franchise with the Creed movies.
Yeah.
He made two of them, and Sylvester Stallone was in both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Michael B. Jordan saying that there will be a Creed 3, but it will not include Sylvester Stallone.
Mm. I don't know if that's a wise choice.
I don't think it's a wise choice, but I think what he's acknowledging is that Sylvester Stallone has probably got as much out of the character that he can deliver.
Yeah.
But we think that there's still room for a Rocky-type character.
Sure.
That fits the times.
Right.
That really fits where we're at in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a hold of your screen test.
Yes, yes.
That was sent to Michael B. Jordan, because you are an accomplished actor.
Well,
we got a hold of the screen test that was presented to Michael B. Jordan, and, well, here it is.
Okay.
Here it is.
All right.
Without further ado. The world has beaten you to a bloody pulp over and over again. It's time for you to stand up and make everyone on this godforsaken planet fear the name of Todd.
I don't know if I got it in me, Chase. I'm just a small-time boxer from Philly who dreams of making mediocre action movies and profiting off of the working man's hard-earned dollars as he tries to escape the harsh realities of real life.
What in the hell are you talking about, Todd?
I have no idea, Chase.
Acting!
Todd, I think it sounded funnier when we were just...
Todd and Chase.
Yeah, have it in our heads.
Yeah, I mean, hey. Yeah, so there it is.
What are you going to do?
Todd and Chase.
It's so stupid. So stupid.
We
I don't know, though. I feel bad about Rocky. Maybe they'll just will Rocky. Like, the opening scene, I could see it, is the funeral.
No, how did he phrase it? He said that the spirit of Rocky will continue.
But I'm saying,
but not.
I'm saying they lay him to rest. They lay him to rest, and then every now and again, you think, you know, you're in the middle of a tough situation, like, you're Michael B. Jordan, you're getting a beat down, right? And your opponent knocks you on the canvas. And all of a sudden, it's Rocky kind of in your mind's eye. You know, your eyes roll back inside your head, and all of a sudden you're like,
Michael B. What are you doing down there?
Right?
Get up. Get to your feet.
Huh? Dexter, worst radio ever.
Well, you.
Yeah, what's your point?
Yeah, what's your point?
Yeah.
Duh.
I mean.
Yeah.
You really think we're trying to be serious there?
Did you come in for a highbrow?
That's right.
You know, you're the one that turned us on.
Yeah.
Moron.
Don't you know who we are?
Right. We're only in this to entertain ourselves.
We laughed.
We're entertained.
We had fun.
Yeah.
Stop it.
We were.
Rehearsing during the break. We loved it. We were cracking ourselves up.
Yeah.
All right. 207. Let's get back to reading box scores.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the Nuggets box score from yesterday.
Yeah.
They only scored 8 in the fourth quarter. What are we going to do?
That won't win a title.
No.
All right. There you go. Serious sports analysis.
Yes. Yes.
Bowl only played 2 minutes. God, remember bowl hysteria? Remember that?
Well, speaking of, I told you so. When everybody was hot in the bubble and they were like, bowl's the next big thing?
Yeah.
I go, hey, when the real games start, he'll be the guy on the end of the bench wearing long pants.
Yep.
Because he's 7 foot. His pants are really long. Reminds me of that old Saturday Night Live skit with Will Chamberlain, where they're just bringing one gal after the next in, and his legs are hanging all the way off the bed. They're like, he's fake leg. They're hilarious. Those are the pants that Bobo wears. Long pants.
See, now this texture gets it. You got sly as a guest? Wow. There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
See?
207 did say greetings from Maine.
From Maine?
Yeah, that's where he texted from. Listening to us in Maine.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Well, it's probably snowing and freezing in Maine.
I don't
know.
Where
right?
in Maine? Is he listening up in Rumford? Augusta? Bangor?
Bangor, Maine. Where's the AA team, the Fisher Cats? Where's that at? Isn't that in Maine?
Oh, no, that's
New Hampshire.
That's in Manchester, New Hampshire.
Manchester, New Hampshire.
The Portland Sea Dogs are in Portland, Maine. Rangeley, Maine?
Rangeley?
That's where Guys Weekend is every year, up in Rangeley, Maine.
Really?
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful country. Beautiful.
I bet it is.
I'm literally cracking up in my car on the way to work. Some other car in traffic is laughing at me, laughing at you guys. See, there you go.
See, there it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
Guys, I recommend that the last 10 minutes of all your shows, you talk like Rocky. Just last 10 minutes of every show, we take the top sports stories and just have Rocky commentate on it. By the way, I thought the best sports story of the weekend was by far the Hideki Matsuyama winning the Masters. I didn't realize, I should have put two and two together, because having seen the crazy amount of media that follows Japanese baseball players.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, from Ichiro.
When my son was playing in Detroit, they had a weekend series of the 4th of July with the Seattle Mariners, and Ichiro, like on the field, Mike, there had to be 40 Japanese cameramen and reporters.
Right.
And everything he did, like he would like reach down and tie his shoe.
Right.
It was like, Ichiro ties his shoe.
So think about it. Japan has never had a major winner.
Right.
This guy's, since he was a low amateur at Augusta 10 years ago, has been
the hope.
He's been the hope. And he's had many times where he's been in the running and he hasn't been able to break through. So Saturday night, Sunday morning in Japan, you know, this whole country goes to bed with the idea that, you know, our guy is leading the Masters going into the final round. I mean, you want to talk about pressure? I mean, we talk about pressure all the time in sports, the pressure of these guys. That guy, I can't imagine. First of all, you're trying to win at Augusta. You're trying to win the Masters.
Yeah.
Knowing that one shot can sink your whole chances, right? So you got the pressure of dealing with that. And then the pressure of knowing you got an entire country.
Right. They asked him when the pressure was. The pressure on after you made the turn, right? And he's like, no, the pressure was on as soon as I showed up to the golf course. I knew what was riding on it for the country.
Right.
I mean, it was amazing. And the fact that he didn't, like, when he had that big lead, he didn't get conservative. Like, he still put one in the water on 15, going for it, on a second shot in a par five. Cause he's just like, dude, this is how I got here. Right. I'm going to stay with it. I appreciate that. I don't know if that was the number one sports moment of the weekend.
No? What do you think it was?
I think it was my apology video to the Jets fans. That could have been the number one.
I'll put that as a close second. Okay. And folks, if you have not seen it, you've got to go to Mark's Twitter handle, at Mark Schlereth, and his response to Jets fans. There's already been over 500,000 views on this thing. And what is it? Not even a day old?
Yeah, no, I posted it yesterday afternoon.
Okay. So less than a day old. It's already had 500,000 views. It's awesome. It is classic Mark. It is the stink that you have known and come to know and love. It is classic stink. So check it out and give him your thoughts. But now I just thought, and the way that, you know, the whole country, I mean,
incredible.
And part of me was kind of jealous because our country is so vast, so regionalized. I just wonder if there could ever be an athlete that we are hanging on everything he or she does and then celebrate in that fashion.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Like they are in Japan today.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
You know, we've had some great Olympians, but somebody brought Michael Phelps earlier. Yes, we all celebrated, but not to the point where we were hanging on it.
Right.
It was mass national celebration.
Right. I know it's got to, we got to roll, but the last time we had mass national celebration like that was when it was a semifinal game where USA Hockey beat Russia.
Correct. But that was a team.
Yes, right. Not an individual.
I'm talking about one individual. Yeah. So to be able to be facing that kind of pressure, that kind of scrutiny, and to be able to deliver, and now know that for the rest of your life, he is a living legend.
Yes.
A living legend.
much like Sandy Clough is a living legend. He and Orlando, coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.